It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, and he's online as well at myfuturesadvisor.com, myfuturesadvisor.com. Our conversation will look back at the cattle on feed report for the month of March, which came out last week on Friday. We'll also have a preview of some USDA reports this week. First, Caitlin McCulloch, the Livestock Marketing Information Center, on how the hay market's been shaped by drought.
This alfalfa market is being sculpted by drought, and we have been dealing with drought in the U.S. for about 2 years now. The drought obviously affected yield to some degree, but a lot of this, too, has been based on declines in acres. We also lost about 6% of acres. Now, some of that is because you have higher prices almost across the board in terms of other crops.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. And Bob, we start our conversation on the heels of a cattle on feed report, March cattle on feed report. We did see some interesting numbers there, but any surprises really?
I think that the only surprise was that we really reached towards the high end of the expectations in terms of the range predicted by the trade for the placements number. Otherwise, I think, you know, my opinion, well, especially in terms of the cattle on feed supply as of March 1, I mean, that came in pretty close to what expectations were. But for that placements number, it's shown a gain of 9.3 above last year, and expectations going into the report were anywhere from plus 4.5 to plus 9.8. So we missed the high end of that range, guesstimates going in by just half a point, and that to me was probably the biggest surprise, I guess, out of this thing. And then marketing's also a little aggressive for February. It came in at 4.9% above last year, expectations for 3.4. So that number in itself, the marketing's number, should be relatively friendly for the futures contract most tied to cash, which is the front month right now, which is the April live cattle futures. And it did fall back some, but not as much as some of the deferred contracts that would have been impacted by that placements number. So based on the way the numbers set up and the expectations going into the report and what the USDA actually published, you know, I think the market kind of reacted as it should have today with, you know, both the April and the June down on the day, but the April a little less so. So either way, I mean, only down 70 in the June live cattle futures contract isn't the end of the world. And actually, if you look at the June, it had been lower on the day, settled up towards the top half of its range on the day. So just looking at price action from my perspective, like I do, I kind of feel like it looked pretty good for a close. You know, we'll see how things transpire over the week with some reports that are coming out that could definitely impact the live cattle market. But I think it was not the worst case scenario in terms of a relatively bullish or bearish report, in my opinion, that came out, especially with the placements number. Now, the question is, why were the placements as high as they were, and why were analysts and those in the trade expecting something on the high end there of almost 10% higher than last year? Well, a few reasons. One is last year's numbers were pretty small. Don't forget that was our first year into COVID, right, from 20 to 21, and we're still trying to figure things out. So numbers were relatively small then in terms of demand and processing and putting things through the pipeline. So just on a relative basis, the expectations would be for this number to be a little bit higher and maybe get back to normal, if that's anything that we can expect in the near time future at all. Feedlot margins are good, decent movement out there in the country. And then also we've got the fact that there's drought in many areas in the U.S., so that's going to push cattle off land and into the feedlots. And that kind of all fell into the same funnel and ended up where we ended up with higher numbers, at least more towards the high end of the expectation. So that's the reason. Now we just kind of watch, to my point earlier, on how the market's going to absorb that information and see what it's going to do. I still think there's good demand out there from consumers for beef. So I don't know if we're going to see a huge slide to the downside. Something that looks like a retest of the lows from, say, a month ago, we got down to 131.32. My crystal ball is never 100% clear, but I'm thinking at the moment that I don't know if we're going to quick retest of those levels. Let's put it that way. So I kind of like the way the price action was today. Also, in terms of expectations for the, you know, the near term here for cattle in specific, right now going into the next quarter, there is expectation of a shift lower in production for the second quarter. And that would be contrary to a seasonal tendency where normally see an increase in beef production in the second quarter relative to the first quarter. And right now, beef production is expected to decline about 170 million pounds from the first to the second quarter. And normally that Q2 production is maybe anywhere on the average of 250 to 350 million pounds higher than first quarter. So even though, again, we got this one data point from the USDA, hate to be a dead horse there, but, you know, even though we got that one data point, we know I still think that things look pretty good going forward if nothing tremendously unusual, you know, comes and hits the market. And to that point, we have a report out this week regarding the hog market with the quarterly hogs and pigs report, and that could be a big mover. So in terms of just relative value for the consumer out there and how it impacts their pocketbook on overall prices of beef and looking at other, you know, protein sources, you know, for the family dinner table. You know, if for some reason the pork market falls out of bed after seeing a pretty darn good rally over the last week or two, if it falls out of bed, then I guess that could influence cattle prices a little bit lower. But if it at least doesn't have any big bearish surprises in that quarterly hogs and pigs report, or really there's a big correction, I think, again, that there's a setup here for some, you know, decent support in this market with some modest dips. You know, I don't know if, again, if I'm going to see that 131 to 132 in the near term. So that's where we're at right now. Slaughter was pretty good last week. Cash was generally steady to maybe just a bit lower. I know cash is called lower this week. Again, we'll see if that quarterly hogs and pigs report has any impact on the cattle market. And also, we've got a pretty big grain report due out this week. And again, that could have some kind of impact. So be ready for it.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned the grains, because we've been really on a wild ride when it comes to the wheat market. We've also seen some big gains out of corn and soybeans over the last month, going both directions. Where do we go now?
That is an excellent question. I tell you, we saw the tremendous rally, made the papers everywhere around the world, obviously. People who weren't grain watchers all of a sudden became grain watchers. People who weren't energy market watchers became energy market watchers just because of the massive rallies that we've seen. But over the last several weeks, we really haven't been able to make new highs in many of the markets. So I think the markets got to a point where they priced in a lot of the knowns and unknowns, shall we say, in what's happening geopolitically around the world and the impacts on the breadbaskets around the world. In particular, I'm talking about Russia and Ukraine, but also there's other areas that are hurting too, especially with the U.S. here and with weather markets and such, that I don't know if it's going to break out to the downside or the upside. I think it's still too unknown to really have a feel for whether or not we're going to see $18 soybeans, you know, and new high ranges in wheat and stuff. But these ranges that we're in are considerable. So just looking at soybeans, for example, I see us in about a dollar range, you know, is not unusual, and we're down 50 cents today. You look at the May soft red winter wheat, the Chicago variety, that's sitting in about a dollar and 13 cent range over the last several weeks. And then in corn for that May delivery, that thing is sitting in roughly about a, you know, 50 cent range too. And these are obviously highly unusual numbers for a trading range, you know, over several weeks for these particular commodities. So we'll see how it all lays out. We do have a data point coming up, a couple of them, that is. We have the prospective plantings report coming out, and then also the March 1 stocks numbers. And this week for the report for corn in specific, the planted acreage expectation on average is 92 million acres. That's down from 93.4 last year. And then in terms of the March 1 corn stocks, they're expected to come in about 7.86 billion bushels, what was up from just shy of 7.7 last year. So in terms of acreage, down compared to last year. In terms of corn stocks, up a little bit from last year. in terms of soybeans, expectations at the moment for the report, prospective plantings is 88.9 million acres. Guesstimate is pretty wide, 86 to almost 93. 88.9 is up from 87.2 last year, so looking for higher acreage from soybeans. And then in terms of the soybean stocks, they're expected to come in shy of, right at about 1.888 billion versus 1.56, so higher again there in terms of stocks. And then for wheat, the numbers that the trade is looking at right now, all wheat is expected to come in 47.9 million acres, up from 46.7. And then winter wheat plantings in specific coming in at 34.4. Spring wheat plantings are expected around 11.8 versus 11.4 last year. And then in terms of grain in the bin, U.S. all wheat stocks, as of March 1st, they're expected to come in around 1.039 versus 1.3, so less wheat. So as you can see in a couple of those scenarios there, the expectations is for higher acreage, which wouldn't be too much of a surprise based on what the prices have done. So hopefully the producers are able to take advantage of that. And what's really interesting is the prices that we've seen in some of the inputs in terms of urea and ammonia and the massive rallies that we've seen on those inputs. And, you know, in my opinion, the prices have to sustain at some point. I shouldn't say have to. I should say I would expect the prices to sustain the gains at some level here to keep it profitable for those producers, even though they're having to incur these massively expensive prices for the inputs, especially when it comes to nitrogen. So we'll see how that plays out. We get those numbers in terms of the stocks and the prospect of plantings this week, and we'll react accordingly.
Okay. There is so much going on right now, and you know, whether you're a producer or somebody who uses the markets in maybe more of a speculative way, we can talk one-on-one with you, can't we?
Absolutely. A few ways. You can just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number's 312-987-2053. Or reach out by email if that's easier. It's bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at manducatrading.com. Or just come and check out what we're about, and that's at our websites, which is www.manducatrading.com or www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Again, it's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago, and he joins us today on the Agribusiness Report.
As a farmer, there's a lot you can't control. Now there's one thing you can. Introducing the all-new Fendt Rogator 900 Series, the only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance to elevate your control in all seasons. Add Liquid Logic technology and three-year Gold Star customer care, and you have a machine putting power at your fingertips. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today from Chicago, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading.
Ranchers, opportunities in the beef cattle industry will be the focus at the 2022 Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas on Tuesday and Wednesday, April 26th and 27th. Register now for this very important event. Hear President Trump's Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, plus 10 other presentations. Seating is limited. Call 806-323-9114 or go to the website. Presented by the Hemphill County AgriLife Extension.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago, online at myfuturesadvisor.com.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate Digital Agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Even though U.S. production of hay, particularly alfalfa hay, has been dropping over the last 2 years down to some historically low levels, sales of hay for the export market are not going down.
We typically ship about 3% of total U.S. production, and this market has continued to grow year after year, specifically in the alfalfa market.
Caitlin McCulloch with the Livestock Marketing Information Center, she told us,
this alfalfa market is about 75% higher than what it was a decade ago. So a much bigger tonnage going overseas year after year.
U.S. alfalfa exports in 2021 were up 7% from 2020, even though alfalfa production was down by about the same percentage.
The big driver in this increase has largely been China, and last year they were up 34% from the year before.
And McCulloch says China must value U.S. premium quality alfalfa for their livestock because last season they had to pay 20% more for it than the year before. Gary Crawford, Washington.